This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk now about housing. A fresh round of data this week seemed to support anecdotal evidence that the Massachusetts housing market is hot, hot, hot.
In June, the median cost of a condominium jumped to $320,000, the highest price ever for a Massachusetts condo. Single-family home prices also shot up significantly, according to the Warren Group, a company that's tracked local real estate since the mid-1980s.
And Anthony, as I was telling you and the Radio Boston staff a little earlier this week, I took a look at some open houses. You know, it's like a hobby of mine. And there was one in particular that I looked at that there were some interesting things that I hadn't seen before. And first of all, there was a stampede of people. I know you've experienced that when you see houses. And second of all, there was this big sign that the agent had put up that said, no offers accepted until a particular window on Tuesday between 9 and noon. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't. I mean, years ago, I remember when the market was hot in the state. And what strikes me is how astonishing it is that it has come back so fast to this sort of frenzied level. Really,
exactly.
Really amazing.
Exactly. It feels like that kind of frenzy. And the agent there said that she had put this offer window on because she was just getting inundated with offers. And her even and the people she was representing, the sellers felt a pressure to make a decision very quickly, too. So she was telling prospective buyers, do not expect a response until Thursday, at least. So it's got that same sort of feeling, as you said, of frenzying. And right now, we're going to take a closer look at the Massachusetts housing market. We're going to peer deeper into the numbers to see whether or not that frantic buying and selling, Anthony, that we're talking about does amount to a bubble, and if it's good for the Massachusetts economy as a whole. So we're going to start with a view from two real estate agents about what they're seeing in the city and the suburbs as well. Ellen Friedman is a realtor with Keller Williams, primarily focusing on the Boston area. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Gabrielle Daniels, a realtor with Coldwell Banker in Sudbury. She's been a realtor for a decade. Gabrielle, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So, Ellen, let's start with you. What have you been seeing in sort of in the urban core here where you represent both buyers and sellers? Is it as crazy as people say it is?
It is crazier than people say it is. If a property looks good and is well-priced, there will be a bidding war for it.
Really?
Yes. I had one three-family house in Somerville that I priced at $899, and I talked to the sellers about the pricing, and there really weren't comps to justify that price. But I'd been looking in the multifamily market with buyers. I knew what was going on, and I said, I think this is okay. I think we'll get this or more. The first day it was on the market, we had an offer for $1.1 million cash.
I'm only laughing because I don't know anyone in my circle of friends who would have $1.1 million in cash in the bank, but apparently there are so buyers just like that out
right
there. So, Gabrielle, is it similar in Sudbury and surrounding communities?
It is similar. In the spring, it was inventory was so low that anytime a house that was in great condition, as Alan mentioned, great condition and priced right, it was experiencing the frenzy and selling immediately.
And who are the buyers who are winning these bidding wars? I mean, I know there's a diverse group of people out there, but I'm especially interested to know if you're seeing like the all cash offers, for example.
We see some all cash offers. Certainly not as many all cash offers as you would see in the city. However, we're seeing more cash offers and more buyers who do not need to sell their current residence to buy their next house, which we were not seeing before.
Oh, interesting. And Ellen, is that similar to what you're experiencing?
It's very unusual to have a buyer who needs to sell a property. Nobody will make an offer like that because they know they're not going to get the property.
Right. In the years leading up to the nationwide housing market crisis and recession, a lot of the bubble was driven by basically easy money in the form of, all the subprime mortgages. That's not what we're seeing this time.
That is definitely not what we're seeing now. I would say up to about 15 months ago, I could find a place for a buyer who had a mass housing pre-approval, which is 3.5% loan.
Yeah.
Today, I cannot find a seller who will sell a property in Cambridge, Somerville, or Boston to somebody who does not have 20% down.
Mm-hmm.
So those are strong buyers. There is nothing like the easy money frenzy. Those are strong buyers. today, if I have somebody who has a lower down payment, I tell them that they should look in another town.
Yeah. So let me ask both of you. When I hear these kinds of stories about buyers standing in driveways and trying to write up offers, or, you know, sellers making very quick decisions because the offers are pouring in,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm curious, do either of you think this is a good thing in general for the housing market, for buyers or sellers? Ellen, let's start with you.
I work primarily with buyers. I do not think it's a good thing. I would really like more inventory, a market in which buyers had more than 5 minutes to think about whether they want to buy the property that they're going to spend $500,000 for.
I mean, it's their largest investment
yeah. That's
in life
right.
outside
That's
of like
right.
their, your personal relationships.
And a lot of what's going on is that agents are saying the only showings will be at the open house on Saturday and Sunday, and we're looking for offers by Monday night. So that does not give the buyer much of an opportunity to think about it, to bring their families back. Or I don't like it.
Hmm. And Gabrielle, yeah. what do you think?
Well, the luxury of time is not there. I think we're a little bit more flexible here as far as getting into the house and having time in not just a two-hour window on a Saturday or a Sunday. I don't think it's a great thing. I think a healthy inventory is always better for the market, but I don't think the market can keep up the way it is right now.
Well, Gabrielle Daniels is a realtor with Coldwell Banker in Sudbury. She's been in the business for 10 years. Gabrielle, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. I want to add that I actually work as a team with my mother, Carol Daniels, who's been in the business for 30. So we've got a little bit of experience.
So 40 years of collective experience in the market. And Ellen Friedman, realtor with Keller Williams. She focuses on the Boston area. She's been doing this for just about 4 or 5 years. Ellen, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
So listeners, that's The View from a couple real estate agents. What is your experience? Are you trying to buy? What's it been like? Are you trying to sell? What's that experience been like? And while a hot housing market might feel great after the shock of the Great Recession and housing crash, is it really good for Massachusetts? Or does the tight market signal a deeper underlying problem for the state's economy as a whole? Call us with your experiences and your thought on this at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. So we heard on-the-ground experience from a couple realtors there. And again, I'm looking forward to hearing callers and what you guys have to say. But let's take a look at some of the numbers behind this recent boom in the housing market. And to do so, we will turn to Tim Warren. He is CEO of the real estate tracking firm, The Warren Group. Tim Warren, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you.
So let me ask you, you've been tracking since 1987 through boom and bust cycles here in Massachusetts.
That's right.
What does this recent surge in the market look like to you in comparison to others?
Well, we've had a booming market. It really began last year when we had an increase in sales volume of about 18%, but the median prices didn't react immediately. This year, we've had the reverse. Median prices are rising rather rapidly, about 12% in the first 6 months of the year. But the volume of sales is just about even with last year.
Right. So the prices are going up because the inventory isn't rising.
I think that's
in part.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about that number that we talked about very early in the segment when we introduced the topic about the $320,000 median value or price for condos in Massachusetts, highest ever?
Yeah. Condos are getting pretty close to what it costs for a single-family home. The median price for a single-family home is $350,000 in the month of June. And that was the highest median price since August of 2007. So it's the recovery is rapid.
Have we seen that before, condos verging on the single-family home prices? Median values, I should say.
Yeah. They've been edging up. In 2011, I think the condo price, median price, was $270,000, and the single-family home was median price was $285,000. So that was just a $15,000 difference back then.
Okay. So does this look like to you to be sort of a natural surge due to pent-up demand that we've had a long time, along with sort of, it is July, we should say. So the April, you know, April, I was going to say the spring housing market is something to take into account as well. Or does it feel like it's something different, the beginning of yet another sort of long-term boom?
Yeah, I think pent-up demand has a lot to do with it, and I don't think it's a typical thing. We had a slump in the 1990s, and it was a long time for us to recover from that. I think it was about 6 or maybe even 7 years that it took to get from the bottom of the market back up to the previous high median price. Now that prices are increasing by 12% so far this year, it won't take nearly that long, and so it's atypical of a recovery.
Atypical, is that good or bad in this case?
Well, I think it's okay right now. I would hate to see it continue in double-digit increases for more than a year or 2 years or something like that. That would get us back to close to the previous high. And, you know, in the early part of, let's say, 2000 to 2005, median prices increased by double-digit increases each year for 4 years in a row. And then we had a crash.
Yeah. So before I let you go, Tim, there's actually another sort of small slice of who's buying that I'm wondering if you could help us understand a little bit, because we heard from the real estate agent Ellen a little earlier that, for example, she had a home in Somerville that was asking around $800,000, ended up selling for, well, she was asking around $900,000, ended up selling for $1.1 million all cash. And we've been hearing anecdotes about these cash buyers out there. How much are they? How large of the market are cash buyers?
Well, the cash buyers are a significant part of the market, particularly with condos. With condos, they're somewhere around 30% of the condos are purchased all cash. Some of that's because condos are more difficult to finance than single-family homes. For single-family homes right now, it's around 13% is all cash.
Okay. So the condos are attracting, are they investors that have all cash or regular buyers?
You know,
or?
I think a lot of it is some foreign money coming in. You know, I think people from China, Latin America, Middle East are very interested in moving some, you know, because of concerns about inflation. Brazil and China are having concerns about inflation, moving some money to the U.S. Boston is a very attractive place for them to send their kids for education. And so buying a condo for the kids is a good way to kill two birds with one stone.
Okay. Well, Tim Warren is the CEO of the real estate tracking firm, The Warren Group. He helps us understand the numbers behind the stories that we hear in the Massachusetts real estate market. Tim Warren, thank you so much.
Okay. Very good.
Well, let's take a call here from Barrett, who's calling from Cambridge. Barrett, you're on the air. How's it been in the housing market for you?
Well, it was really rough for us. We were looking for 2 years in Cambridge. We owned a small condo in Central Square and wanted to stay in Cambridge for various reasons. And we made lots of offers and just kept getting beat out. We didn't really know why. Finally, one weekend, after 2 years of looking, we found a place that we had an offer accepted on in North Cambridge. So we just moved there, and we're really happy. And then we sold our condo in Central Square, and we couldn't have been more shocked. We got 14 offers. Most of them were cash, no contingencies, didn't need to look at the house in advance, nothing. And so we ended up selling our much smaller condo for more money than our, you know, new house in North Cambridge, which is still an attractive area, but just a little less attractive.
Now, Barrett, let me ask you, when you said you were getting offers with no contingencies, you had potential buyers who said, hey, I don't even need to do an inspection on your condo?
Correct. Yes.
I mean, that sounds kind of amazing to me.
Right. No inspection. Some people did inspections ahead of time so that they could make an offer without inspection. But the person that we actually picked, which was, you know, just a business decision, was somebody that didn't even see the place with an inspector.
Well, Barrett, thank you so much for your call. And listeners, we are talking about the hot current housing market in Massachusetts. As you heard from caller Barrett there, it's gotten to the point where sellers are getting offers from buyers who don't even need an inspection. So is that what you're seeing? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm also curious to know if you think this is good for Massachusetts and its economy as a whole. And to go straight to that question, let's turn to Barry Bluestone. He's a professor of political economy and the founding director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. Barry Bluestone, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be with you.
It's terrific to have you. So I want you to help us understand what's really going on here and get straight to that question about whether or not this is actually good for Massachusetts economy as a whole. So first of all, tell me, what do you make of this, you know, recent boom in the housing market we've been seeing for basically roughly the last 6 months or so?
Well, what we're seeing over the last 6 months looks very much like we saw between 2000 and 2005. As Tim Warren was just saying, during that 5-year period, the median single-family price rose from $250,000 in the year 2000 to $400,000 just 5 years later. You know, that's a $150,000 increase on a $250,000 home in just 5 years, a double-digit increase every year. We've seen that this year, but I think it's going to be different this time. And the reason is, as I think the reason why prices are going up so rapidly over the last 6 months is that there's very little housing on the market, as Tim Warren suggested. And that's because people who don't have to sell right now have been holding off to see whether prices would continue to rise and whether mortgage rates would continue to stay low.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may, in fact, have a WBUR effect. If a lot of people are listening to this program, they're finding out that they could sell their home now and get a very good price and get it very quickly. And I think as more people who are interested in selling recognize that this is the best time to sell now before mortgage rates start to rise, we may see more coming on the market and therefore a relaxation of this overheated market.
I see. So a combination of increased inventory and perhaps rising mortgage rates might slow things down a little bit. But Barry, I'm curious what you think about this. In the Boston Globe a little while ago, there was an article that says, "Are we creating the next housing bubble in Massachusetts?" And Jay Fitzgerald, the correspondent, writes that anyone who lived through the Massachusetts miracle of the late 1980s and the bull housing market of the last decade, those go-go years of soaring home prices and tight supplies, know that both of those periods ultimately ended badly and that some policymakers fear that history may be repeating itself eventually in Massachusetts because of some core problems in the market. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think the real factor that will affect the housing market is not so much the financial market, but the demographics. We're going to see an enormous number of people my age, I'll be 70 years old next year, who will be looking to sell their single-family homes over the next 5 to 10 years. And to get into something that's more appropriate for them. That's part of the reason why the condo market is so hot. We haven't seen any reduction in prices, even during the Great Recession in the condo market. That's why the rental market, every year we see rents going up despite the Great Recession. But it's estimated, not in Boston, but nationwide, that within the next decade or so, we're going to see about 4 million surplus single-family homes. As those baby boomers who moved into the suburbs after World War II and through the 60s and 70s and early 80s are now looking for possibly something a little smaller in their, mm-hmm. in their community, looking for maybe a condo or a rental apartment rather than that four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath with a two-car garage. And so I think what will happen is we'll see this acceleration in prices as we've been seeing, but two things will slow it down. In the short term, it will be slowed down as more people put their homes on the market. In the long term, it will stabilize as more of these single-family homes come on the market with older people trying to downsize what they have. So I'm not as worried about having that overheated market right now and then a crash, as I think what we'll see is a little overheated now and then over the next 2 or 3 years, more stable prices rather than what we saw between 2000 and 2005, an explosion in prices, and then a collapse.
Okay, but what about in the neighborhoods and cities and towns where that influx of people is expected? You know, I'm thinking about Greater Boston, Cambridge, Somerville, you know, Brookline, Newton, the places where those baby boomers are going to flood back into. I mean, you yourself have, I believe you released a recent study that said that Greater Boston alone in Essex, Middlesex, Norfolk, Plymouth, and Suffolk counties need at minimum to add 12,000 new housing units every year between 2010 and 2020 just to meet modest population increases.
Exactly.
We're not on that track at all, are we?
No. Well, we're adding about 8,000 right now per year. We need to bring that up by another 50%. And what is happening is that we're seeing a real change in the kind of housing that people want. We were building lots of single-family homes. We now need to build a lot more multifamily apartments and condominiums because the strongest demand is...
Barry, you still with
yeah,
us?
I'm with you. The strongest demand is among people my age, retiring baby boomers, and younger people who are looking for new housing, and the units they're looking for are not there now, and we haven't been able to build them in many communities because we have zoning laws that say, well, you can only build one unit per acre, or you can't build multi-unit housing at all, or you can't build accessory units into single-family homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to change in order to meet the demand, and if it doesn't, then we'll continue to see an acceleration in prices, but it won't be so much in the single-family home prices. It's going to be in condo prices and rents.
Right.
And that's where I'm worried.
Well, Barry, stand by, because we have a lot of callers who've got some personal experience and thoughts on the Massachusetts housing issue. So let's go to them. Jim is calling from the South End. You're on the air, Jim.
Hi, folks. Very topical. This is actually our nightmare at the moment. We just managed to sell our condo in the South End. It was on the market for all of a day. And now we're looking for another place close into the city. We're looking South End, South Boston, those kind of neighborhoods, and not finding any inventory. There are a couple of places that we managed to get offers on. They were snatched out from under us by people that came in, trumped our offer with all cash, no contingencies, which, you know, we couldn't quite do. So we're wondering now. I mean, we're lucky compared to some folks. We've got a family summer home that we can move to temporarily for a couple of months, but you know, pretty soon we're going to be up against making some choices about finding temporary rental housing, and we're kind of wondering what kind of options we might have if we don't find something in the next couple of months.
Yeah,
this kind of really tight inventory condition is going to continue like this for very long.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing your story and for your call. Barry, Jim falls right in that category of people who I think, you know, actually constitute the majority of folks out there, that they might be able to sell their place, but where will they go? Because maybe they don't qualify for subsidized housing and they don't have, you know, $1 million to lay down in cash on a new place.
Well, what I'm hoping is that the market will free up a little bit for the kind of housing that Jim is looking for this summer. Over the next months in August and September, October, as more people put their homes and condos on the market. But the fact is, in Greater Boston, in the areas that Jim was talking about, South Boston, Fenway, Back Bay, Jamaica Plain, Newton, Brookline, the amount of the supply of housing is insufficient to meet the demand, and it's particularly true for those who are looking for condominiums or apartments. So this is a problem that's going to last for a long time. That's part of the reason why the governor, Governor Patrick, has called for 10,000 units of multifamily housing each year through 2020 to meet that need as it's projected by all the demographic census projections we have.
And I take your point on that, but it still seems to raise the question to me on whether or not it's enough. Because as you were saying earlier, a lot of the problem is that there are zoning restrictions, you know, from town to town that make it difficult to make radical changes in the structure of the housing market, so that there's long-term relief here and, I guess, long-term fluidity that gives people the option to move around, to move up, to downsize. It seems like it's a very sclerotic system we have here.
It is more sclerotic than most states. We have, you know, local communities have limited local control. They control their property taxes. They control their zoning. And that's about it. And anything, if you don't have a lot of control over most things, but you have control over one thing, that's what you really work on. And so most communities, I've made it very difficult for developers to put up the kind of housing we need now. They'll let single-family homes be built, but that's not where our problem is. They're not allowing the multifamily condominium apartment to be built in anywhere near the numbers we need. And there are some communities that don't allow it at all. It's just outlawed by zoning. That's the big change we need to see, and we need to find ways to change that. We have some laws that are starting to have an effect. Chapter 40R, the Smart Growth Zoning Bill, which gives local communities additional local aid if they rezone for this kind of housing. It's starting to help. We've got about 2,000 units built. We could build another 12,000 units of housing under that law. But it takes a little time to make those changes, and it's going to take some time for these communities to realize that they need to allow this kind of housing to be built, not because there'll be lots of people from the outside coming in. Their own citizens are going to want to downsize to some of that housing. and it's not there for them.
On the other hand, I can imagine there are a number of local representatives out there who say, look, it's those same zoning restrictions that make our communities attractive right now to live in. But I want to take another call before I run out of time here. Ryan is calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hi. You asked the question, is what we're seeing in the market good? And in my opinion, it's not. The cost of housing is so prohibitive here in the greater Boston area. As a young professional, look to buy a home and start a family, I'm seriously considering leaving the state. It seems as if you want a decent single-family home in the greater Boston area. If you don't have $1 million, you're kind of stuck.
Brian, thank you so much for your call, because you get us right to what the most underlying point here is that I want to get to you with, Barry. He makes the argument, Ryan says, hey, look, you either have the $1 million or you don't. You either live close to where you work or you can't. It just seems to be a tough thing for the overall health of the Massachusetts economy. Is that too harsh a reading here?
No, it's not. I mean, what Ryan is facing is the thing that I worry about most about Massachusetts. We have a strong economy. Our unemployment is lower than the rest of the country. We are creating lots of jobs relative to other parts of the country. But our cost of living has just gone out of sight. I recently did some numbers, and I said, what would happen if our family were to move from Boston to Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina? What would happen to our cost of living? Turns out it costs two-thirds as much to live in Raleigh, Durham as it does here, not just for housing, but child care, health care, other costs of living.
So overall, it's 30% cheaper.
It's 30% cheaper to live there. And in fact, there are some companies from Massachusetts who moved to North Carolina and said to all their current Massachusetts employees, come with us. We're going to give you a 10% cut in your wages, but your standard of living will rise because the cost of living is so much lower. And housing, of course, is a major component of that. It's 30 to 35, 40%, even 50% of families' income for too many people. And unless we can get our costs down, including the cost of housing, and that's going to take a lot more construction, we will become more and more uncompetitive, non-competitive. And people like Ryan and other young people we want to keep here in Massachusetts are going to make the choice to go to someplace much cheaper to live.
And just to dovetail to that, I read that the Census Bureau shows that in the last 3.5 years, Denver has handed out 3 times as many building permits as Boston, Seattle building at 4 times Boston's rate. So another sobering fact about the overall hot housing market here in Massachusetts. Barry Bluestone, professor of political economy and founding director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. Always great to have you, Barry. Thank you so very much.
Glad to do it.
And listeners, let us know about your stories and your experiences in this housing market and what you think about what Barry Bluestone says, that overall, hot housing may not be a great thing for Massachusetts. Send us your comments at radioboston.org. But for now, stick with us, because coming up, we'll talk about busking in Boston. It's this week's Artery segment, and it features street-side musicians that we often might not even notice. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.